deleted scenes, those bits of the scriptures, teachings of Jesus that sometimes we avoid, or at best only give a cursory glance to. And as Andy has said, we're looking at what Jesus said about divorce. And I do appreciate that simply raising this subject is going to be stirring deep emotions in many of us today. And I can't imagine, as Andy said, that there would be anyone here who has not been affected or hurt or experienced desperate grief associated with divorce. So I want you to hear me right this morning. I stand here today in humility, seeking simply to share what I understand of Scripture, not making judgments, because none of us can walk in another's shoes. My prayer is that we might catch something of the heart of God and together align our lives, our thinking and our actions towards growing as a disciple of Jesus and serving the purposes of God's kingdom. When I first saw the schedule for the deleted scenes, I thought Andy had missed a trick, because last week he spoke about church and today is Pentecost Sunday, the day the church worldwide celebrates the outpouring of Holy Spirit. And many people around the church call this the birthday of the church. So I thought, why didn't he plan it differently and do church today? But you know, I've come to appreciate and be glad that he didn't. Because today is Pentecost Sunday. Because today we recall God's amazing gift of Holy Spirit. We're reminded that we can only be the people God created us to be. We can only live lives that witness to his amazing grace with the help of Holy Spirit. So I want to ask Father God's help now, that by his Spirit moving amongst us, we might be aware not only of our own pain, but the pain of the people around us and the pain of those who are not here this morning. I want us to be aware of one another, but also aware that God calls us to be channels of blessing and agents of healing. So just in a few moments of silence, think and be aware of yourself, but the people around you. A step on the pathway to receiving all that God has for us today is to engage with the living word of God. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at scripture, and this is it. So we're going to be looking primarily at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they were no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry." Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way, and there are eunuchs who have been made that way by others. And there are those who choose to live as eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. First, let me set this scripture in context. The Gospel of Matthew is generally accepted to be written by Matthew, one of the 12 disciples, and it is written primarily for converts from Judaism. So people who had a good grounding in Jewish teaching and traditions. And one of his key themes is discipleship. Matthew lays it on the line, what it means to decide for Jesus. Kingdom values mark the lives of kingdom people. And this passage comes in the later part of Matthew's gospel, and Jesus is moving towards Jerusalem. His teaching and his miracles have caught the attention of the religious leaders. So some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" There were two particular groups of Pharisees who had quite opposing views on divorce. The Shammai said that divorce could only be justified on the grounds of adultery. And the Hillel were more liberal, and they said that divorce could be justified even if just for the sake of a wife displeasing her husband, say for burning the dinner. Well, there you go. Both claimed that their interpretation was in line with God's law given to Moses. So the Pharisees came to test Jesus. They wanted to know which school of Pharisees he favored. Perhaps they were trying to cause a split amongst his followers, I don't know. What I do know is that they didn't get the answer that they were expecting. They came asking about divorce law. Jesus bypasses the argument by challenging them rather than asking them what is permitted. He challenges them to think about what God wanted in the first place. Rather than worrying about legal loopholes, focus on God's perfect purposes in his creation. There we go. "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." From the very beginning, God, the Creator and sustainer of all things, intended a complementary union between male and female. This relationship we call marriage is God's best and perfect plan for the people he created, male and female, united as one in committed covenant relationship. And Jesus said, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Hear that again. What God has joined together, let no one separate. She said, what God has joined, not whom, what. I've used these words many, many times in wedding services. Just as the happy couple complete an exchange of vows. But in this context, Jesus is not talking about individual couples. He's talking about marriage, the God-given institution of marriage that should be secured and promoted by God's people. Jesus is stressing here that God gave us marriage and he wants us to preserve it, to find no loopholes to get out of it. And the Pharisees came back then with a further question. Why then did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? And Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. And this is where I want you to catch God's heart. God does not want divorce, but it happens. In Moses' day, divorce was becoming common practice, a social norm. In the law of Moses, in Deuteronomy, God permitted a concession for divorce and remarriage that regulated and restricted its practice. And he did this because, as Jesus said, your hearts were hard. You'd gone beyond yielding to God's will, trusting him. So stop bad practice and abuse. The law of Moses permitted yet restricted divorce and remarriage. The Old Testament law does not forbid remarriage, but it does set boundaries. Jesus then went on to say, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. It would appear that Jesus is making concession for divorcees, permitting remarriage, if the grounds for the divorce were marital unfaithfulness or sexual misconduct. Matthew tells us that the disciples were shocked. The disciples said, if this is the situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to marry. And it was seen that Jesus agrees. If it's as if that idea of remaining single after divorce for a divorce for inadequate reasons was worse than the choice of being single in the first place. And Jesus says, well, not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. And then he talks about the eunuchs who were born that way and eunuchs who were made that way. And there are those who choose to live for the sake of the kingdom in singleness. The one who can accept this should accept it. Throughout this exchange, Jesus is setting a high bar for those who choose to live as kingdom people. He refuses to go down the popular social culture track and simply accept divorce as a given. Jesus focuses primarily on marriage, that one flesh union between man and woman, God's best and perfect plan for us. A covenant relationship for life. And he teaches that sexual immorality are the only grounds which make divorce permissible. So where does that leave us today? In an age where divorce and remarriage are now commonplace, what about situations Jesus doesn't address? What about a spouse who's abandoned the home and there's no or a place where there is continuing mental and physical abuse? How does the church proclaim the permanency of marriage while pastorally caring for those who feel either trapped in an oppressive marriage or have felt that they have no option but to divorce? I've been a pastor long enough and walked with enough folk who have gone through and are going through the grief of all that this brings to the surface. For me, I believe we have to see in the teaching of Scripture and in the life and ministry of Jesus, not a set of rules and laws, but overarching principles. Principles of love and compassion that reflect the Father heart of God. The prophet Malachi tells us that God hates divorce. And we have to agree that divorce is destructive and causes so much pain and grief for generations. I've sat with the children of parents who have divorced, and they still feel the grief. They still feel confused and hurt. God hates divorce because of what it does to us. The scriptures also tell us that God loves us. Because God loves us, he has sent his only Son not to condemn, but to bring us into his light. Through Jesus Christ, the principles of forgiveness is manifest. All our mistakes, all our selfish choices, all our rebellion against God's best for us have been resolved at the cross. There is forgiveness for those who repent. There is a second chance. God is in the business of redeeming and renewing. Throughout this book, that is the image of God that I see. He is in the business of redeeming and renewing his people. So for the wounded and the broken, on this Pentecost Sunday, we stand and say out loud and clear, the Spirit-empowered ministry of the church is to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the sick, to be agents of reconciliation and forgiveness. Now that might mean within our human relationships, if that's possible. As far as it is up to us, that's what we strive for and support and encourage and help one another with. But primarily, it's reconciliation between us and God. And dare I say, also to forgive ourselves. Divorce is not the unforgivable sin. We can come with our mistakes, our selfish choices, our rebellion against God, and know that he forgives. We can come with our wounded hearts and broken spirits and know that he heals. There are principles here within the scriptures of justice, love, mercy, compassion, forgiveness, peacemaking. This is what we as a church are called to be. This is the heart of kingdom living. And if we don't have these, then all our rules and our laws get us no further than they did the Pharisees. The Old Testament speaks of God divorcing his people, Israel. It says that he divorced his people because of their adulteries, their continued rebellion in following the ways of other nations, choosing for themselves rather than choosing for God, worshipping other gods. And he set them aside, sent them into exile. But I want you to hear this loud and clear. God never once took his eyes off them. He never once stopped loving them. His commitment to them remained steadfast. He had mercy on them, and he did restore, and he continues to restore them. Now I've said, either directly or indirectly, maybe through the divorce of parents or children, wider members of your family, close friends, colleagues, divorce has affected probably each and every person here. And I want to leave space for God to meet with us and speak to us. There will be some here who are deeply scarred by divorce. And you wonder, where is God in this? There are some who carry a burden of guilt because the choices that have been made, your choices, have left you wondering, can I ever have a full life with God, restored and forgiven? There may also be those here today or listening on the recording who are contemplating divorce. And there's an inner battle that seems relentless.